bit. Let's learn a little bit more about checking for insects, which we learned about last week. We began last week. So last week we really began the discussion as to the necessity to be checking for insects, for infestation, why we do it, what things need to be checked, what things don't need to be checked. We discussed some of those issues. So this week I want to focus on some interesting issues about what happens if things are not checked properly. Things are not checked properly and something happens, or sometimes in commercial settings, this becomes an issue when you have companies that are either not aware of the laws or don't care too much about these laws. So the question is, how do we deal with these types of issues? So it's very interesting. If you look at source number one, so the go-to principle when it comes to this type of issue is what we would call bittul. Bittul we've discussed here in the past, and bittul is the concept that if you have something that's forbidden, something that's aser, that gets mixed into something that's mutter. So normally logic would dictate, well, if I have something that's prohibited in this mixture, so I have to throw the whole thing out. But the Torah already tells us that the concept of bittul, that something can be nullified. If it's a small enough ratio, small enough percentage, then that which is aser can be nullified in the mixture. And we have this concept of bittul. Normally we say, from at least on a Torah level, bittul is berov, which means as long as you have the majority of heter, corresponding to a minority of iser, it would be mevatel that iser. The Rabbanan instituted, in most cases, bittul b'shishim, which means you need a much higher ratio. You need 60 times, in order to be mevatel the iser. And the idea behind that is also you want to be mevatel the taste. It's not just the actual iser, but you want to be mevatel any taste of that iser. Excellent. Very good. It's almost like we prepared this together. If you look at source number one, so Tosfos tells us that bittul only works where the items are mixed together to a point where you can't recognize the iser. Exactly your question, right? Right, Tosfos in source number one. V'hadakaymaland mida oraisa chad betrei batil, that which we hold from a Torah level, that one in two is batil, right? Bittul berov. That's only when they're mixed together and you can no longer recognize the iser. But Tosfos, whatever case he's talking about there, he says that we can recognize the iser very plainly. We can see it. And therefore, in that kind of a case, bittul would not work. So any time that the iser is recognizable, bittul would certainly not work. And the whole mixture would be usr unless you remove that isr. So in the case of, let's say, a bug, let's say for example you have infested romaine lettuce, or let's say romaine lettuce, regular romaine lettuce, we assume to be somewhat infested, not to a large degree, but there might be some bugs in there. It's likely that there are going to be a couple of bugs in there. So let's say you have romaine lettuce and you chop up the romaine lettuce and you throw it in a salad. And now you have a salad, which is a whole mixture of different things. I have lettuce and I have peppers and tomatoes and all sorts of different ingredients mixed up in this salad. So you might argue that the bug, whatever little bug is there, should be batel. But again, if the bug is recognizable, it's not like it became mixed into the salad to the point where it's not recognizable. If the bug is recognizable, then you would have to remove it before eating that salad. Now, if the bug's not recognizable, for whatever reason, the salad was created in a way where there's no way to possibly recognize that bug. I mean, there's millions of little different pieces now in the salad, and the dressing has all these little different herbs, and everything looks like a bug, and there's no way to locate the bug. So then you can discuss issues of bittul. Certainly, if you have something where you have a cooked dish. I use take broccoli that was not checked for any infestation, and I cook it, and I make a broccoli kugel. Okay, so now if you look at the broccoli kugel, there's no way, once you make that broccoli kugel, there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to locate any insect that may have been in that broccoli. Right? There's no way to possibly do that. So then you would get into issues of bittul and questions of bittul. So it really depends on the scenario as to whether we can employ bittul. Now, one major hurdle to bittul. So let's assume that I make a cooked dish or I made a salad, and there's no way that I can locate the that insect. So I want to say, you know, maybe it should be bittul, right? And, you know, listen, it's certainly bittul berov would work. Probably even bittul b'shishim if you make a normal size salad. I mean, bugs are tiny, you know, and certainly you're going to have 60 times that bug in the salad. Even if you have one serving, you probably have 60 times that bug in the salad. So let's use bittul. But the Mishnah tells us in source number 2 that there's a little bit of a problem with employing bittul here. Why is that? The Mishnah has a case of a gida nasha, right? Gida nasha we know is the sinew of the animal in the thigh area. I think it's in the knee or the thigh area that we're not allowed to eat, right? That sinew is removed. I think the whole area nowadays is removed, and we don't eat that. Let's say that the gida nasha was removed and became mixed up with other gidim. So we have a whole bunch of now sinews, and some of them are, most of them are kosher, regular, you know, just regular pieces of the animal, and one of them is the gida nasha, and the gida nasha is aser. So maybe we can say, listen, we don't know which one it is. It's not certainly not recognizable. They all look the same. So maybe we can say that we can say bittul, right? So says the Mishnah in source number 2, gida nasha shenisbashel ima gidim. If you have a gida nasha that was cooked up with other gidim, bizman shemakiro bino seintab. So if you can recognize the gida nasha, you have to remove it. And now, since you cooked them together, there was some transfer of taste. There was some nesinas tam. And now you're going to have to be mevatel that transfer of taste. You're going to have to be mevatel that taste. So you need 60 times that gida nasha. Ve'im lav, however, says the Mishnah, that if you can't recognize the gida nasha, I don't know which one it is. They all look the same. I have 20 gidim here. I don't know which one it is. Writes the Mishnah, kulan asurin. They're all prohibited. The whole mixture is prohibited. You got to throw it out. So I have one gida nasha. It's mixed into all these gidim. I got to throw out the whole thing. Now asks the Gemara in source number 3 the obvious question, gida nasha shenisvashel v'liv tol beruba. Why don't we just say it should be batel? Batel berov. Right? Why are you throwing out the whole mixture? Why does the Mishnah say the entire mixture is prohibited? Why don't we say bittul? So the Gemara answers, novel concept, beria shiny. Beria is different. Now what's a beria? So a beria means, it's clear from other cases in the Gemara, beria means that when you have something like a gida nasha, which is an entity unto itself, it's a whole entity, right? I have 20 gidim here. One of them is a gida nasha. So when you have a whole entity, that entity cannot be batel. There's no such thing as bittul when it comes to entire entities, whole entities. You can't have bittul. And the idea behind that, the Mefarshim explain, is because when you have a whole entity, there's a certain chashivos, there's a certain significance to that entity. So if there's significance to that entity, then it can't be batel. It's too significant to be batel. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. Now that was that Mishnah and Gemara talking about gida nasha. But if we apply it to our discussion, if you have a bug, right, a bug that's a beria, you have an entire insect, I have an ant, I have a fly, whatever the case might be, a thrip, right, I think is the name of one of these produce bugs. Okay, so I have a whole bug. So that bug, as small as it might be, obviously it has to be visible to the naked eye, but as small as that bug might be, it's a beria. It's an entire entity. It's a living organism. It's a living creature. So therefore, it should not be able to be batel. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 4. Beria, dehainu kigon nemala o oftame v'gid anashe, ve'ever minachai u'beitza, sheyesh ba efroach v'chayotze bohem. He lists a whole slew of different examples of what a beria might be. One of his examples is an insect, a nemala. Nemala is an ant, right? So any type of insect would be a beria. Afilu be'elef lo batel. Even if there's 1,000 times, it's a gigantic ratio. There's 1,000 times that bug in this mixture. Nevertheless, it's not batel. Nevertheless, it's not batel. So seemingly, we have a little bit of a problem. Because even if our situation is that the bug is no longer recognizable, because it's completely mixed into this mixture, right? It's been cooked into the broccoli, kugel, or whatever the case might be, it's certainly not recognizable. So we want to employ bittul, but we seem to have a problem of beria here. We seem to have a problem of beria.
But what is the gida nasha exactly? Is that like a nerve, or is that a ligament, or is it a muscle? I don't know.
It's a great question. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it is. I was under the impression that it was some type of ligament or sinew in the animal. Now, why you're eating that or how you're eating it, or I'm not really sure. Maybe if you cook it, it softens up a little bit.
But a bug is an organism in and of itself.
Correct.
The kid on Norsha doesn't seem to be an organism.
It's not an organism per se, right? It's not an organism per se, but you know, it is an entity unto itself. Meaning, it's this ligament or whatever the case might be is a ligament, and it's you know it might connect two parts of the body, but it's its own entity.
Okay.
So, but namala is certainly easier to understand. Meaning, you know, certainly in that case. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara asks the following question. Very interesting question. The issue we really have to grapple with is: so, is there any eitza for us? Is there any? So, you know, what can we do? You know, if we have a bug that went into our food, or you know, we forgot to check the lettuce or something like that, and it was cooked. You know, is there anything? Is there any halachic mechanism we can use to permit this this dish? So Rava asks the following question. The Gemara. This is actually a Gemara in Nazir, but he's talking about a namal. He's talking about an insect or an ant. And Rava asks in source number 5, Bayi Rava. Nemala shechaseira mahu. Let's say you have an amala, an ant, that's it's incomplete. Something's missing. Something's missing from that ant.
Like it's an amputee?
Let's say, right.
Missing a leg.
Let's say, okay? Now we'll see that this issue is discussed by the Rishonim, so, but let's just assume for a minute that your example is a good one. So the Gemara asks, mahu, what's the halacha? Shi'ura gemirin la v'hachaser. So do we say, well, you need a certain shear. You need a shear of an amala. So now you're missing that shear. So that's it. If I eat an amala, that's, we said last week, a person eats an amala. So you get, whatever it was, 5 lavin. You know, it's 5 sets of malkos. So if I eat only half an amala, right, I'm not allowed. Right? We do say, by the way, it's important to keep in mind, that we do say chatzi shear asur min haTorah, which means even if I'm not eating a full shear. Normally, you have to eat a kezias in order to violate a prohibition, certainly to get malkos. But even if I eat less than that, I may not get malkos if I eat a half a kezias, but it's certainly usser, certainly not allowed to do it. So here, you're not allowed to do it, but you get malkos. So do we say, shi'ura gemirin lava hachaser? So do we say that you need a shear of a namala? You need the size of a namala in order to get malkos. And here I'm missing the size of a namala, so I'm not going to get malkos. Or do we say, oberia gemirila? Vehaika. Or do we say, no, you're not getting malkos for the amount of namala that you're eating. You're getting malkos because you're eating a whole namala. So here, you have a beria. You do have a beria here. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara seems to assume here that even though there's something missing from the namala, it's still called a beria, right? It's still called a whole organism. You don't have the whole shear of namala here because something's missing from it, but it's still considered a whole organism. Comes Rashi and explains what's the Gemara's question here. So the Gemara says, Rashi explains, I'm sorry, in source number 6, Shechaseira kol shehu ve'achla mahu. So a little piece is missing from the Nemala. What's the halacha if you ate that piece? Shior Nemala shlema gemirila. Do we learn that you need a shior, an amount of a whole Nemala, dechi achil chayev, that if you eat that, then you're chayev, then you get malkos. And if anything is missing, I don't have the whole shear. I'm not eating the size of a whole namala. So I'm going to be pater from malkos. Odilma, or perhaps, beria gemirila. Or maybe, no, the requirement is of a beria. If I eat a beria, if I eat in a whole organism, that's when I get malkos. Dechi achil beria michayev. Dechi chaseira na michayev. Dehaika beria ve'amrinan rubo kikulo. So Rashi says, well, here you still have a beria. Why? Rubo kikulo. You have the majority of the beria. So you may not have the amount of an imala, but you do have the majority of a beria. So it seems to be, according to Rashi, that if a piece was chopped off of this beria, right, you have a little small piece is missing, as long as rove of the beria is intact, it has the halacha of a beria. So that would mean that even in my broccoli souffle, right, even if there was an amputee, right, an ant amputee in my broccoli souffle, it wouldn't help. It would still be considered a beria, and it wouldn't be batal according to this logic. Tosos understands this question of the Gemara a little bit differently. If you look at source number 7, so Tosos understands that he quotes the Gemara in Makos that we saw last week. Ha'ochel namala chayev aleha b'kol shehu, right? That if you eat a namala, you're chayev, even if it's a small ant, it's not a gigantic ant the size of a kezias. I'm only a small ant, is very small, you still get malchos. Avak b'shein ba kezias, umibayalei, im niktzitzu ragleha, she'adayin hi yechola lichyos, ve'adayin shein berya aleha. So you see from Tosfos, the Tosfos seems to understand that we're specifically talking about something like the legs. An ant amputee, we're talking about an amputee that's missing his legs. Why his legs? Because he can still live without his legs. He can live without his legs.
Just can't move him back.
He might not be able to move so well, but he can still live. So says Tosfos that since the ant can still live, even if he can't move around, that's still considered a whole living organism. Okay, a couple legs missing is nishkeferlach, and therefore that still has the halacha of a beria. In the next Tosfos, in the next line, these are two short Tosfos in here. Miyamrinan shiura gemire klomar shalema beberia v'hocha seira. So the way he understands the Gemara is that when we say that you're chay of malchus for eating an ant, which is a beria, do we mean a complete beria? That's what the Gemara's first half of the question is, right? The way Rashi understands it was, do we need a shiur of this ant? And part of the ant is missing, I'm missing the shiur. Tosfos understands, no, the question is about beria. Do we say that beria means you need a complete beria, and therefore if I have a piece missing from this ant, even if it's a couple of legs, it's not considered a beria anymore, because a beria means a complete beria. Odilma beria gemirila v'havyala sheretz ho'el v'adayin ru'ya l'chios. Or do we say that no? Beria means a living organism, and as long as it can live, it's considered a living organism, a whole organism, even if it's missing a leg or two. So Tosfos understands that the Gemara's question is exactly this question. Do we require a complete beria for this halacha of beria, or do we say no? As long as this insect has everything it needs to live, even if part of its body is missing, it's still considered a beria. Now everyone agrees that if its head is missing, for example, okay, or a significant amount of its body is missing, and it can't live like that, then everyone would agree that would not be considered a beria. But this is a question of Tosfos. If you're only missing a leg, is that considered a beria still? Because beria just means a complete living organism and it can still live. Or no, beria means a complete organism and it's incomplete. So that's how Tosfos understands the question. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 8, V'chein tzarich sheyihiyeh davar shalem. He says, in order to have this halacha of beria, that it needs to be a beria, he says it needs to be a complete beria. She'im yechalek ein shemo alav, and that once it's now dismembered, it's in different parts, now you don't call that an ant anymore, it's now, different pieces. Okay, lafuke chela v'chein tzarech she'yihi ha'shalem, it needs to be shalem. Okay? Now, writes the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch wasn't so clear, he just said it needs to be shalem. Writes the Shach, what do you mean that it means that it needs to be shalem? In source number 9, la'afuke nisrasek o nechtach mimena eiver echad. Right, to exclude, let's say, a bug that was totally destroyed. It was ground up, it was blended, it was completely destroyed when preparing this food. Or, he says, even if one leg is missing from the beria, writes the Shach, afilu eiver she'en an neshama tluyo, even a leg, where the neshama is not dependent on that leg, it's right. It's life. It's not dependent on the leg. Nevertheless, that's considered a non-shalim. That's considered a non-beria, writes the Shach, in that kind of a case, if it's a non-beria. And therefore, in that case, it would be batal. So it seems to be right now that we're in okay shape in some cases. Maybe not in a salad, because a salad, who knows if the bug was whole, not whole, pieces of lettuce are pretty big in a salad, so it's very likely that the bug escaped unharmed and unscathed from the chopping block. But certainly, if you have something which is pureed, or you have something which was totally mashed up and cooked, then it's quite likely that that bug is no longer intact, and is certainly missing at least a leg. And if he's missing at least a leg, so it would be batel in that kind of a case. It would be batel. Oh, okay, good, good, good. So that's what we're going to get to now. So according to this, it would come out that anything that's mixed like that, would be okay. For example, let's say you buy. We discussed last week one of the fruits that they say is somewhat infested are strawberries. Right? They're infested, you know, particularly towards around the top, where the, you know, around that green leafy part, the stem. So there, you know, there are bugs hanging out over there. And there's a way to clean strawberries. We mentioned last week, it's not difficult at all. It's one of the easiest infested fruits to clean. You chop off the top and you soak it in water, you wash it off, and that's pretty much it. So you don't need a light box or anything like that. You just need a visual inspection. But usually once you just rinse them off and cut off the top, you're okay. But let's say you have a company that doesn't check its strawberries for insects, and they make a strawberry jam, right? They make strawberry jam. Now that strawberry jam, the strawberries were certainly blended, right? And they were certainly cooked to make that strawberry jam. So in that kind of a case, you would be able to eat it, right? Because even though the strawberries were not checked per se, even though the strawberries were not checked, and there may have been a couple of bugs that snuck in those strawberries, but those bugs are certainly not intact any longer, okay? And if they're not intact any longer, and you certainly can't recognize them in the strawberry jam, then everything's going to be bottled. You certainly have rov, you have shishim, you have plenty, in terms of a ratio, to be mevatel these bugs. But now the question is, are you allowed to do this intentionally? Right. So let's say I know that this thing might be infested, so I'll just blend it up, right? I'll puree it. I'll make a puree soup, and therefore I don't have to worry about any of these bug issues, and that way everything will just be bottled. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 10 and says you can't do that. Ein mevatlin isur lechatchila, right? You cannot be mevatel isur lechatchila. You cannot come along and just say, okay, you know what? I want to do away with it. I'm going to just be mevatel this isur. I'll take this little ant. I'll throw him into a big vat of food, and everything will be fine. You can't do that. Not only that, va'afilu nafal esoch heter she'ein bo shir levatlo ein mosifin alav heter kedei levatlo. What would happen? Interesting case. Let's say that that this unchecked romaine lettuce falls into my dish, or unchecked broccoli falls into my pot. Okay. So now I look at the pot and I say, you know what? I don't have the requisite amount for bittul. Insects are not a great example because you might actually have it. But let's say something larger that I might not have the requisite amount. So what do I do? I'll add more food. I'll add more heter food, and then it will be batel, right? You can't do that either. So you can't stick the isser into something a mixture in which it will be batel. You can't add heter to a mixture in order to be mevatel the isser. That's all called bittel isser lechatchila. You're not allowed to be mevatel isser lechatchila. This is a bidyeved mechanism. It's an after the fact, post facto mechanism, not a mechanism at the outset.
How about purchasing a jar of this jelly, knowing that the manufacturer did the dirty work for you?
Good. Okay, good. Good. That was your question. Great minds think alike. Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. So writes, continues the Shulchan Aruch, let's say it was done already. Let's say you did it. You threw the unchecked broccoli in there. You added heter in order to be mevatel. You weren't supposed to, but you did it. Now, people do things that they are not supposed to sometimes. So if it was done b'shogeg, inadvertently, okay, so then it's mutter. Usually b'shogeg, we say, means that you didn't know that it was prohibited, right? I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware of this issue. I didn't know that it was prohibited. Certainly if you do it inadvertently, then certainly that would be okay. Then it's mutter. But let's say you did it intentionally. I know the halacha. I know I'm not allowed to do this, but I'm doing it anyway, because I'm really hungry and I want to eat this. And you're mevatel the isur lechatchila. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, asur lemevatel atzmo. You're not allowed to eat it. It's asur. The bittul doesn't work. This mechanism does not work if you use it lechatchila. Interesting, right? Conceptually, it's interesting. Because normally you would say, well, if the halachic mechanism works, so then it should work no matter what your intentions were. But here we say no. Bittul works if it's done, if it's b'di'evet. After the fact, if you're looking back at the case, and you look and you see you have enough to be mevatel, bittul works. But if I'm being mevatel isur lechatchila, and I'm doing it intentionally, it's not going to work. The whole mechanism is not going to work. Im hu shelo, if it's yours. V'chein l'mishin shenizbatel b'shvilo. Also, let's say it was yours, and you're doing it so that someone else can eat. I'm making lunch for me and my friend. He can't eat it. He can't eat it either. You can't eat it because it's yours, and he can't eat it because it was done for him. Ulishar kol adam mutar, but for other people it's mutar. So here it's interesting. For other people it's mutar. For you it's asr. But for other people it's mutar. If you look at source number 11, the Shulchan Aruch and the Shachir make a very interesting point. What would happen in a case where the bittul was done intentionally, but not for the purpose of bittul? In other words, the act was done intentionally for the purpose of the food preparation. Now it happens to be that I was being mevatel the isser when I did it also, but that wasn't my intention. My intention was for the food. So what's the halacha in that case? So writes the Shulchan Aruch, and this is in Siman Pei Dalet. He's talking about an interesting case of infested honey. If you have honey, not infested honey, but let's say you have honey. He says devash shenaflu banimolim. You have a honey, and bugs fell into the honey. The bugs fall into honey; they're not going to get out so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So you have bugs that are stuck in this honey. Yechamemenu an sheyihi enitach v'yisanenenu. So he says, well, you know, the honey congeals. So apparently, this honey was congealed to the point where it would be difficult to get the insects out. So he writes, what can you do? You can heat up the honey. Heat it up, right? Warm up the honey, and when you warm it up, it's going to soften up. You know, it's going to liquefy. And once it liquefies, then you can pour it through a strainer to get the bugs out. And the bugs will stay in the strainer, the honey will go through, and you'll be able to enjoy your honey. Now, there's one little problem here. That if you heat up honey that has bugs in it, essentially what are you doing? You're cooking bugs. You're cooking bugs into the honey. So at the outset, the bugs were just sitting there. All you have to do is pluck them out. But now once you've cooked the bugs in the honey, now what happens? We know when you cook isser into something, the taste gets infused throughout that entire dish. So if I'm cooking this honey, I'm doing it to liquefy it, right? But I'm cooking it, so now the taste of those bugs is now permeating my entire dish, and now the whole honey is usser, right? Unless you say bittel, maybe. So writes the Shach, maybe that's bittel isser lechatchila, right? I'm being mevatel the isser lechatchila. So you're going to argue, what about that taste? So the taste will be bittel. But that bittel isser lechatchila, you're not allowed to be mevatel isser lechatchila. So writes the Shach in source number 12, Ve'ein zeh mishum mevatel isser lechatchila. You don't have to worry about that. It's not a problem of bittel isser lechatchila. She'aser, kidel kavan simen tzadi test, which we just read, which we know is prohibited. Why? Writes the Shach, She'ein kavan oso elo lesakin advash. The purpose of you heating up this honey is for the honey. You want to fix this honey. Right now the honey has insects in it. I can't eat the honey. I want to be able to eat this honey. The only way for me to be able to eat this honey is for me to get it softened to the point where I can strain the insects out. So when I'm heating this honey, I'm not heating it in order to be mevatel the yisur lechatchila. That's not my intention. My intention is just to get the insects out. So right, the Shach, if your intention is to make the food better, that's your intention when you're being mevatel the yisur. So then you don't have to worry about the fact that you're being mevatel the yisur lechatchila. So in some cases of the food preparation, where your intention was not to be mevatel the yisur, you're not even thinking about the bugs. You're just preparing the food because that's how you want it prepared. It's going to be good food, and I need to cook it and blend it and puree it or whatever else I'm doing. So that would be okay. Now, what happens if the person thinks that it's mutter? Say the person thinks it's mutter, right? I don't realize that bugs are an issue even. I never heard of this bug issue. You know, that maybe that's why nobody's coming to this year. You know, because who wants to hear about the fact that their food is infested and they can't eat it, right? So I didn't go to Rabbi Polakoff's shir. I wasn't aware that bugs are my lettuce is infested. It looks like clean lettuce to me. You know, broccoli, I don't see any bugs crawling around my broccoli. So what's the problem? So I think it's mutter. I don't even realize that bugs are an issue. I don't even realize that there's an isser to eat a bug. Right? I know it's disgusting, but I didn't know that there was an isser to eat a bug. So what's that called? Is that called mazid or is that called shogeg? Right? If a person thinks that something is permitted, so we generally assume that to be shogeg. So it's actually not so simple. The Taz brings this discussion in Siman Tzadi Tes. It's brought in other places as well. And he quotes some who believe that in a case where you are tub din, you made a mistake in the halacha, you didn't realize that this was asr, and you think that something is mutter, so then that's called mazid. Let's say I think that it's okay to be mevatel isur lechatchila. I don't realize that there's an isur. I'm not allowed to be mevatel isur lechatchila. So says the Taz, some say that's called amazed if you do that, then, if you don't realize. But he says, ube'emes lo nira kach, I really don't buy it. I don't think that that's the case. I don't think it's true. Writes the Taz. And therefore, I think that if a person makes a mistake in the halacha and they don't know, that's really called shogeg. And if you don't know the halacha, that's really called shogeg. So presumably, if you have, I think most kashrus agencies will not rely on this, you know, lechatchil. I don't think kashrus agencies will rely on a company just, the company doesn't know anything, so we're the OU, for example, we're going to go in, and we just won't tell them about this whole insect infestation business, and let them do what they do, and everything will be okay. You know, the kashrus agencies don't do that. If they're certifying something, then they make sure that that the products that are used are insect free. Now, obviously, sometimes things slip through, and you have different things like that. So then you can employ bittel. Certainly, in a bidyevet sense, you can employ bittel. There are certain cases where the poskim allow you to, if you're pureeing something, for example, that if it's something that, let's say, was checked preliminarily, but it's impossible to completely check it. So then if you puree it, they say, that type of scenario where it's maybe impossible to check it completely, so you did the best you could. So now if you're pureeing it and you did the best you could, so then, that type of thing is okay, because who knows if there are any bugs really left in here anyway. And if they are, we can assume that they're going to be batel, or things like that. Certainly if you have a case, I mean, obviously if you don't have an obligation to check, if it's something that's not... something that's not considered, a very, very minor percentage of 5% of things are infested, so you don't have an obligation to even check that. So there, we certainly say bittel, right? If you puree something, it'll certainly be bittel. But we generally do not take things lechatchila that we know to be infested or that might be infested and just, puree them or cook them up and say, it's bittel. So we generally do not rely on that. And even the kashrus agencies, even the agencies that are being machshir, a company is a non-Jewish company. I don't believe that kashrus agencies, I'm not sure about the policy of all of them, but I don't believe that they say, well, it's non-Jews anyway, and they don't, they don't certainly don't care about this prohibition of bugs. So let them just puree it or cook it up or do whatever they're doing, and everything will be batel. I think most agencies don't rely on those types of kulas. Okay. So there's one other interesting heter when it comes to something that was cooked. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 14. He writes that if you cook something, Avaru Bishel Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, below Bedika. Let's say you have produce that might be infested, and you didn't check it, and you cooked it, right? He writes within 12 months, because once things are around for 12 months, I mean, most produce is not going to last for 12 months anyway, but theoretically, you might have some dried produce that could last for 12 months, something like that. So once the 12 months passes, so then things are a little bit more lenient in terms of, what's there and what's still around and things like that. But assuming that it was within the 12 months, and you cooked it up without checking, im yachol livdok bodik, if you can still check even after it's cooked, let's say you cook up some lettuce you cook cabbage, you can still check the cabbage after it's cooked. You just spread it out and you check it after it's cooked. So if you can check it, then bodek, you still have to check it. Vim lav mutter. But if you can't check it anymore, you cooked it already, and you can't check it, then it's going to be mutter. Writes the Shach, quoting the Rashba, very interesting logic for this idea. And he writes, this is the last source in 15, he writes... he quotes the Rashba that if you can check it, you should, and if not, then the Yerelisha Mutter. Why? Halama davar dome lebaz ze'ev v'nata b'nei me'ayim shal behema demamidim osa b'cheskas heter. In a certain case, he's talking about a wolf that comes and grabs part of the animal. So you assume the animal is still b'cheskas heter, meaning the idea is that there's a certain chazaka, there's a certain presumption that this item was mutter. That's number one. That's number one consideration. The od shariyesh kan shtei sfeikos. And now he also says we have a sfeik sfeika. What's a sfeik sfeika? When we have a double doubt. When there's a double doubt, we're always lenient when there's a double doubt. Now it's not always so simple what's considered a sfeik sfeika and what's not considered a sfeik sfeika. But if you have a case of a sfeik sfeika, it's going to be mutter. What are the two sfeikos? Safek hayasham rechesh olo. So number one, safek. Were there bugs there? Were there no bugs there? We don't know for sure that there were bugs in this in this item. So maybe there were, maybe there weren't. Vim tim tzilomar haya shema nimuach v'nisbata. And even if there were bugs there, maybe the bugs, you know, in the process of the cooking, maybe they dissolved. Maybe they became batel. And even though we say it's a beria is not batel. If it's a whole beria, it's an insect. A whole insect, it's not batel. But he says, but that's only by an entire insect. But once the food was cooked, the likelihood of that insect remaining intact is very low. It's very slim chances. And therefore, he says you have this sveika. But he says that's only when it's something where the food item cannot be assumed to be infested. We're not sure. It's a suffix. But if when you have certain types of produce, which we assume infestation is so rampant, that you assume infestation, so you just lost one of your sveikos. Because if you assume that it's infested, it's bechezkas infested, so then that's you don't have a sveika. The double doubt falls away, because one of your doubts has now been resolved. You can assume that it was infested. So that's why in that type of scenario, where you have something where you're not sure if it had insects or not, if it was infested or not, and it was cooked already. So in that kind of a case, the Shulchan Aruch says it's going to be mutter if you can't check it now, because number one, it's becheskas heter, you can assume that it was mutter. And number two, you have this double doubt, were there bugs, were there no bugs? And even if there were bugs, maybe now they're all, they've been dissolved in the cooking process, and now they're batel. So essentially, if things were cooked already, you have to really determine what type of item was this. If something was cooked, and it's a real, you know, it's a real, it's becheskas, right? It's a real. We assume that it was infested. So then the question is: well, can you assume that the cooking process by itself destroyed the insect? Maybe yes, maybe no. If it was pureed, then I would say for sure yes, right? If you have a case where something, you know, the person, let's say, didn't realize, you know, you're eating at someone's house and they didn't realize that you have to check this produce for insects, and you make a soup where they pureed all of the vegetables and it was cooked. So then, you know, in that kind of a case where it's pureed and cooked, so then for sure it's going to be batel. They didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't bitul issur lechatchila. And that kind of a case certainly would be batel. Where it's something that was not pureed, it was just cooked, or, you know, and then it depends really what kind of food it is and how infested that might be when thinking about this.
If instead of cooking, you freeze it. I every day eat whole frozen strawberries. And
okay. Right.
Freezing, do anything?
So freezing, I once heard a rumor, but I never verified this, and I'm not sure if it's accurate. But I once heard a rumor that frozen produce, that once you freeze something, you know, the whatever insect might be there has completely, you know, the freezing disintegrates it or something like that. I don't know that to be. It was a rumor that I heard once, and I it was never verified. I'm not sure that it's scientifically accurate. But I'm not sure that the freezing itself would do something. If you're pureeing it, you're making like a strawberry soup, so then that might be a different story. But the last thing I want to say just in the last 2 minutes is that very often you'll see, if you go to the supermarket, you'll see that the bags of lettuce, I think it's Dole and Fresh Express, will sometimes bear a star K on the bag of lettuce itself. Sometimes it will and sometimes it won't, right? So in the kosher stores, obviously, they always have the ones with the star K. But if you go to a regular supermarket, you know, you'll find that you'll find with and without. I remember when I lived in Staten Island, we used to do shopping at a regular Stop and Shop that was nearby, and they had, you know, all these tons of bags of Fresh Express, you know, this type of lettuce, not type of lettuce. So there were a very limited number of bags that had the stamp of the Star K. What that means is that the Star K is certifying that those bags are insect free. Okay. And the way they do that is that, and the Star K has this written up on their website, they have a description. I actually heard a shiur from Rav Heinemann himself, who's the head of the Star K, about this. It's actually based on a psak of Rav Aaron Cutler, who was the Rav Heinemann's Rebbe. And Rav Aaron Cutler held, without getting into the complexities of the halacha right now, but Rav Aaron Cutler held that if you check a significant sample of a certain lot, apparently they all the shipments come in lots. And if you check a certain sample, a significant sample of a certain lot, and you find that sample to be bug-free, so then you can assume that the entire lot is bug-free, and the opposite is also true. If you find it to be infested, you assume the entire lot to be infested. So what the Star K does with this Dole and Fresh Express is that they have mashgichim who check the lettuce after it's been washed. They have a very thorough, you know, triple washing process, and they check the lettuce after it's been washed, And if the lettuce passes inspection, then they don't check. They check a significant sample, but once that sample's been checked, then they're machsher the entire lot, and that star cake gets stamped on the bag. If it fails the inspection, so then the star cake is not placed on that bag. So you can have two bags, you know, of the same lettuce from the same company, one with a star cane, one without, because one lot passed inspection and one lot did not pass inspection. So that's why it's important, if you're buying the bagged lettuce and you're relying on that star cane, which is certainly a reliable hechsher, you have to make sure that it has the star cane, because if it doesn't, then chances are that it either was not inspected. I don't think they inspect all the plants. If you have a plant in the middle of nowhere where there are no firm people, I imagine that they're not inspecting that plant. Or it was inspected and it failed, which is even worse, because then you know that it has insects. Yeah.
I just saw it the other day. New Square, the lady from New Square,
right,
with all the things that are vegetables.